And welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, hometown hospital for the New York Giants. As always, I'm Paul Dottino, joined by David Deal. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there this week. And the Giants, well, they're celebrating something a little different. Not just a feast, but a five-game winning streak. And David, that's the team's first since 2010. What's that taste like, and how do you keep it going?
It tastes unbelievable because now you are seeing the Giants reap the benefits of how hard they've worked in practice to get to this point. But they need to maintain a consistent schedule this week. Obviously, it's different with Thanksgiving. So you've got to focus more on the football game. But more than anything, the great football teams win the games they're supposed to. And this is a game that the Giants should win.
All right. So now the Giants squeaked past the Bears last weekend. But the victory did come with a bit of a price. Let's get a look at the injury report. And we do see that wide receiver Roger Lewis is in concussion protocol. David, I don't know what his status is, but that usually is not very good.
No, it's not, especially since it was just last week, a quick turnaround to go through the protocol of everything. So it doesn't look like he'll be able to be back. Other than him, it looks like everybody will see about Justin Pugh.
You know, also a little banged up that offensive line. Remaining sideline is Justin Pugh. Adam Gettis wound up with some snaps last week. He may need to be pressed into more action.
Yes, he might. When you have Marshall Newhouse, who is the swing tackle, now starting at guard, if something happens to the tackles, you have to have another guard that can fill in at that position. So it's going to be very important to get him back healthy.
All right, Coach McAdoo's about ready to address the media. He's heading to the podium right now.
All right. Cleveland, they're a young, hungry team. Lost a lot of close ball games, a handful of them. Defensively, they're fast and multiple. They have different difference makers at each level with Shelton, Collins, and Hayden. And their corners are playmakers. They have eight INTs. Offensively, they're very creative with their personnel and their schemes. Both backs, Crowell and Johnson, have big playability, both in the run and the pass game. McCown is a pro who's going to be ready and knows where to go with the football. They have four talented perimeter players, all with unique skill sets and sizes. And Thomas anchors their offensive line. Special teams are an aggressive unit with a history of fakes. Alexander and Schobert are good on the coverage teams, and Johnson is a shifty vertical returner. With that, we'll open it up.
Coach, Justin Pugh returned to the practice field for the first time since his injury. How do you think he looked today, and do you think we'll see him on Sunday?
He moved around. We'll take a look at him and see how he does during the week.
What does he need to prove to you?
Yeah, he just needs to prove that he can go. But, again, today he was just out here moving around a little bit.
That position as a whole, I mean, how many guys
Yeah, we have a bunch of guys who are nicked on the offensive line, and we'll play with who's ready to go.
Where does Marshall stand at this point?
Same thing. Marshall didn't work. He worked a little bit today, but, you know, we'll have to see how they progress through the week. We'll play with who's ready to go.
That's something he's going to have to deal with here for the duration, probably?
I don't know. That's a better question for Marshall.
JPP? What happened with JPP?
JPP's sore.
Was it more just a rest day, or is it?
No, he's got some swelling. He's sore.
You talk about, you know, the challenges of coaching and the dumpster fire, as you call them. How comforting is it to know that every week when you show up and start to play for the ball, that your quarterback decision is made?
Comforting. It's, you know, each week we play with who's ready to go and who's healthy and able to prepare, and it's you know, Eli is always steady, and you know, that's a great part about this job is, you know, there aren't a lot of franchise quarterbacks out there, and one who's as steady as Eli and always prepares at a high level always helps.
Ben, what was Odell so frustrated about in the Bears game? I know you're trying to look forward here, but what was he so frustrated about on the sidelines there?
I don't know. That's a better question for Odell.
Is it upsetting that that's happening when the team's winning? How did you perceive that as a coach?
No, I mean, there are frustration, there are ups and downs and highs and lows in each and every ball game.
And is there any more involved, any more of a challenge when you're facing a team that's maybe a little bit more desperate for a win or to turn things around versus a team that has it rolling?
I don't know any team who's not desperate for a win each week. That's why we're here. That's why we're working. And, you know, every win's important. Every game's important. Every week's important. Today was important for us. We had a good day of practice.
And is Odell the kind of talent that he almost lets a play caller get a little bit greedy, where he can do so many things, where you can use him in so many spots? Does it get to that for you? You know, do you look at him as a guy who can do anything and put him in spots, even if he may not like some of those positions, say in the slot?
Yeah, he's very versatile. You can use him underneath, over the top, and intermediate. And he can handle them physically and handle them mentally. But most guys can't. So he's a luxury to have.
Ben, how do you handle tomorrow with the guys? What do you have planned? Obviously, I would imagine you're practicing, but with the holiday.
Yeah, we're going to bring them in a little bit early, practice earlier, and get them out of here after the hydration stations.
You've made a point to tell us, even on the bye week, it was one of those things where you weren't necessarily looking for a break, but how do you personally handle tomorrow? Will you sit at home and try to take some family time? Will you be
personally? We have some work to do tomorrow. We have to take care of tomorrow. I'll get a chance to spend some time with the family, I guess, in the afternoon.
There's a bunch of games tomorrow. How much do you watch? Those are teams that you're going to have to play.
I'll be preparing for my son in the afternoon. He wants to play a little tackle football, so I'll accommodate him. And if he wants to watch a little ball, I'll probably watch a little bit. But we still have some work to do.
Do you find that when you're aggressive on fourth downs, that gets the attention of the players, maybe with a little increased intensity or sharpness?
Again, that's a better question for them. I think they.
Do you hope?
I believe they appreciate the confidence. And you know, we talk to them about how we want to play and how we want to coach, and everyone needs to be on the same page there.
Can you catch a defense maybe not expecting it? It's more non-traditional.
I think defenses are prepared for it. They've seen it on film a few times, so I don't think we'll catch anybody by surprise.
Do you start to alter your play calling maybe when you get past midfield or around there, knowing that you might have four chances to get 10 instead of 3?
I'd rather convert on third down.
Coach, are there some challenges that are presented by, not really knowing who's going to be a quarterback for the Browns? I know McCown is the starter, but RG3 is back at practice. Hogan may be the number two. When you go into a ball game, are there challenges that you have to face?
Yeah, they make you defend the whole field. They do it in a variety of ways, east, west, north, and south. You have to be ready for the deep throws. They'll throw it up the prior. They have good speed with Coleman. The backs are tremendous assets underneath. They can run the read option. They use pods out by the numbers move. They make you defend everything, and depends on which quarterback's in there. They have a little different. They have a different weapon.
Are you impressed with how smooth Pryor seems to be as a receiver, given the position change?
Going back, I'm familiar with him from his high school days. So he was a tremendous basketball player, football player, you name it. Just a tremendous athlete, and you see it just transferring over. It took a little time, but he's made the transition. And I believe he's the highest targeted player in the league, and I can see why.
How did you know him in high school?
I didn't know him personally, but I was aware of him. Southwestern Pennsylvania, right?
Hang out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
That's Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. He's got a defense that's been chewing up opponents lately, the Cleveland Browns. The winless Browns are next on the menu. We'll talk about it after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. It's time for our GEICO News update of the day. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. You know, David, we're looking at this Giants team, and they're facing, as we said, the winless Browns, who are 0-11. Average margin of defeat is 2 touchdowns. So how do you keep the mentality sharp going into Cleveland?
I think more importantly than anything, how do you keep this week a normal week in preparation so that you can take practice to the game field on Sunday? And I think the Giants have done that. Tons of mental reps. You see them around here watching a bunch of film. But the biggest thing that they have to do is they have to play mistake-free football, no turnovers, and continue with the pressure on the defensive side of the ball and get those takeaways.
I want to talk about that pressure on the defensive side. In the fourth quarter this past weekend against the Bears, the Giants had four sacks. JPP himself had 2.5 and a forced fumble.
And they've had 14 sacks over the last six games. And you think about the beginning of it, it was just four in the first five. I think you're seeing that potential hit the production. We saw that they were able to move the quarterback in the past games. Now they're starting to pile it on because of the ability to stop the run on first and second down. You see JPP back to his old form. See the power rush, the one-arm stab. And once you see those ends and that pressure coming into the middle of the pocket, that's everything you can do as a defensive lineman.
Now, this new pass rush NASCAR package they're using, that's a linebacker in Devon Kennard and a rookie in Romeo Okwara.
It's great because it creates one-on-ones. You can target offensive line weaknesses at certain positions. But when you have quick-twitch defensive ends inside in a box up against a guard, those are when those pass rush moves and their hands work. Not to mention, if you can get that pressure and that press down the bowel of the pocket, like you've seen in this video, and it forces either a quarterback to fall right back into the lap of the rush lanes, you've done your job as a defensive tackle interior.
Now, the other thing I've noticed as well, David, the Giants are sending a lot more five-man pressure packages the last couple of weeks than they were early in the season. That's because the corners are holding up in the backfield.
No question. The best pass rush is a secondary and good coverage, and that's what you're seeing. Great coverage on the back end, which allows you to have more pressure up front, which fits exactly to what Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, wants to do.
Now, we also know Spags loves when you stop the run first. I want to give you a couple of numbers here. Last week against Chicago, 17 rushes by the Bears for 88 yards in the first half, 8 rushes for 5 yards in the second half.
I think you see at the point of attack everybody winning against double teams and everybody moving the line of scrimmage. Look at the Bears' offensive line. They're playing on the other side of the ball. So when your interior defensive tackles can allow these linebackers to run through, that's what you need to do in this system. Once again, you're looking at a hole that is completely closed because of Snack Harrison's on the inside. And now who else do you see? You see Jonathan Hankins following from the backside, not allowing to get cut off. So when you see everybody swarming to the football and everybody maintaining lane discipline, that's where you have the upset stops like they've had this last game.
David, it's time for our Twitter question, and let's get a look at what the fans have to say. Should Landon Collins be in contention for Defensive Player of the Year? Now, I want to give you a couple of things to ponder. He's tied for first in the NFL with 5 picks. He's got picks in 4 straight games, the first Giant to do so since Felipe Sparks back in 1995. He's got 80 tackles and 10 pass breakups. Both numbers lead all NFL safeties.
And that's why he should be in that category with everybody else. The impact plays that he's had for this football team are what make you an MVP candidate. The way that he's turned around from year one to year two has been astonishing. So a lot of credit goes to him, and he should definitely be considered in that category for the MVP.
Now, the Giants defense gets to look at what we think is going to be Josh McCown this week with Cleveland. In 4 games this year, he has thrown 6 picks and put the ball on the ground 5 times.
Well, he is a veteran running head coach Hugh Jackson's system. Lots of formation shifts, a bunch of different packages with personnel. The one thing that you may see are a lot of trick plays in this game. But also, when you think of Josh McCown, as a starter since 2014, his record is 2-19.
And when he throws the ball, he's looking for Terrell Pryor, the former Ohio State quarterback, now wide receiver. Over 100 targets. You heard Kurt McAdoo talk about it. He's got 2 100-yard receiving games this year.
He is their go-to guy when they need a big play. He is a big physical receiver that has played the quarterback position before. So you will see a read option look like you see up here against the Miami Dolphins. And the other thing, you really think about the impact he's had on this football team. He has the 5th most targets in the NFL ahead of Odell Beckham Jr.
Now, if they're going to run the ball, that would be Crowell and Johnson who split the duties. Now, Crowell has had a couple of 100-yard rushing games. Johnson, more of the pass receiver, averages 9 yards per catch.
Crowell is dangerous. He has speed, power, can catch out of the backfield, but he is that home run hitter. You saw an 85-yard touchdown run that he had against Baltimore. And then Duke Johnson, he is their 3rd down back. He has great receiving skills. They'll throw screens to him. But what they'll also do is they will motion him out of the backfield so they go empty, and he will line up in the slot or outside as a wide receiver.
Now, we know the Giants have had trouble covering tight ends. Gary Barnridge has nearly 40 catches this season, and he's averaging over 11 yards a pop. This is a guy who you can't fall asleep on, David.
He can be Josh McCown's security blanket in this football game because you know a lot of tension is going to go to Terrell Pryor. But also, you know that they're going to want to establish the run in this football game because they know that is the only way that they're going to be able to take pressure off of Josh McCown and this offensive line that gave up 8 sacks, a strip, forced fumble, safety this last game up against the Steelers.
All right, David, we've talked a lot about the Giants' defense in this segment. When we come back, we'll talk about Eli Manning and his offensive teammates. So stick around. More after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So the Giants go to Cleveland this weekend, knowing that Dallas is still 2 games in front in first place in the East, and the Redskins are still in the Giants' shadow right behind them. Look, David, there is no more motivation needed.
No, the race in this division is so tight that every game and win counts in this division. So you look at the way that the NFL schedule is mapped out with division games in December. You have to win these football games to build confidence as a team and keep that momentum rolling for those division games.
And in situations like this, you like to be able to run the ball. Last week against Chicago, the Giants ran for more than 100 yards as a team for the second straight week. Rashad Jennings had 85 and then 129 yards of total offense from scrimmage.
And that's his second straight game with over 100-plus yards from scrimmage. The thing that you love to see is him taking over now in the second half, taking the bulk of the carries, going north and south with the football, protecting it, but also, like this play right here, showing great vision. Offensive line puts a wall out there. He sees a weakness in an over-pursuit of that backside linebacker, runs through. But this was the biggest thing that he did. His 5 receptions for 44 yards, coming out of the backfield like he just did, slows down the pass rush, which is a huge reason why the Giants did not give up a sack last season.
Now, when the Giants did throw a little bit against the Bears last week, they got some numbers out of Sterling Shepard and also a big play out of Cruz. Now, Shepard, a season-high 11 targets in those 5 receptions that he pulled in.
And it's his 3rd straight game with a receiving touchdown. And the good thing that they're doing is they're putting him in positions to win where he's getting one-on-ones and winning those one-on-ones. The shallow crossing routes like we saw up against the Cincinnati Bengals on 4th down and against the Bears on 4th-and-2 in the first quarter, that's what allowed him to open up with that double move for the touchdown. So you love to see a player take advantage of this because of the attention put on Odell Beckham Jr.
And you saw Victor Cruz with another big play. He's becoming Mr. Clutch for Eli this season. Odell, not big numbers, but again, he's drawing attention away from the other guys.
He is, and there's a reason why Sterling Shepard had the receiving yards he did this last game because of the attention that is put on Odell Beckham Jr. And you think about the way that they are now able to spread the ball offensively, that there were 7 different receivers that caught the ball last week. So when they're putting that much attention on Odell Beckham, you're going to get one-on-one matchups and be able to open up your offense. I have no doubt that down the stretch, just like he did last year, where he averaged 7 catches for 118 yards a game, he will do that again.
Now, I know you're going to get real mad if I don't give credit to the offensive line. Marshall Newhouse stepped in at left guard and did a real solid job. 2nd time this season, the Giants did not allow any sacks, and it was their 4th 100-yard rushing game of the year also.
Which is huge for this offense because when they can maintain a balance and have over 100 yards rushing, that is what allows play action and the quick game to wear down defensive linemen. Great protection up front. There were some pressures, but they settled down and were able in the 4th quarter to punch and pass. Look at the movement by John Jerry at that position and the left guard position. When you're able to score with your defensive lineman, there is no coincidence that you are going to have success. And I think Paul Perkins is a player that can have a huge game in this game against the Browns. because what you need to do against a Browns defense is test the edges, and that's where they've been weak this year.
Yeah, the Bears were middle of the pack in the league in defense. The Browns, well, they're near the bottom in almost every defensive category. And worse than that for them, they are tied for the third worst in the NFL with a -7 turnover ratio. They're putting these guys in rough spots.
They're last on third down. They've had missed tackles. They've had penalties that have hurt them. But they've allowed 49 explosive plays by offenses, which is the second last in the NFL. But the thing that you are going to see is that Ray Horton is going to dial up a lot of exotic blitzes and a lot of different looks because he feels that's their way that they're going to be able to apply the pressure on Eli Manning and this offense.
Now, when the Browns get it going with the pass rush, they've really only got one dangerous guy, Emmanuel Ogba. Only a few sacks, as you can see, but does have 11 quarterback knockdowns, and he will flop sides.
He leads their team in sacks and quarterback pressures, but what they're doing defensively, they're showing mug looks, they're showing exotic looks to show pressure on the inside, and he is reaping the benefits from it. He is a player that can play outside linebacker. They put him on the inside as well. His three sacks have come up huge for them, and you will see a relentless motor like the sack that he has here.
Their other good defensive player is cover corner Joe Hayden, a two-time Pro Bowl pick. Now, he usually plays left corner, but he will shadow the other team's best receiver quite often.
He's their best player in the secondary, a two-time Pro Bowler, leads the team with 9 PBUs and 3 interceptions. He can play any coverage, and like you said, he will match wide receivers one-on-one and play them in the slot. And that last play, Ray Horton will dial him up as a cowboy corner blitz, trying to make sure that they get those key sacks on the quarterback.
David, the turkey's about to go into the oven. As a guy who's devoted a lot of his life to football, what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
It means time with friends and family, to be thankful for all that we've been given and that we're blessed with. But it's about football. You remember memories as a kid watching Barry Sanders or watching John Madden highlight and circle Nate Newton's sweat, the turduncan. Those are things that you never forget as a football player. And as a player, what better place to spotlight and highlight who you are as a player than on the national spotlight?
And a great game coming up on Thanksgiving, Dallas and Washington. You know the Giants will be interested in that one. From all of us here at the Giants, family, friends, and everybody involved, we certainly send you a happy Thanksgiving. We'll catch you next week on Giants Press Conference Live.